campus, such as a presentation on history and archaeology of Fort Blue Mound, 1 p.m. on May 15th. Visit uwp.edu to learn more. Good morning, I'm your host Scott Nelson of WGTD, and on today's episode of the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show, we have Beth Heidorn, the executive director of the Racine Zoo, with us to talk all things Racine Zoo. So John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Okay, hi everybody, it's nice to be here. Scott, thanks as always. I'm John Zern. I am the Fab Lab coordinator for Gateway Technical College's Industrial Design Fab Lab. We are so excited. In the heels of our apprenticeship and in the spirit of our holiday, we have in with us today Beth Heidorn. Beth Heidorn, the executive director of Racine Zoo, renowned for its lights display around the holidays, but we'll probably go all kinds of places. I'm going to turn it over to you, Steve.
Hi, everyone. Welcome again to Saturday. And yes, thank you so much for coming in, Beth. This is a great opportunity for us to talk about the holiday season because everybody loves animals at the holiday season. But before we jump in too far, what are some of the latest updates from the zoo? Because it's a great place to come for those that have never been to the Racine Zoo. I highly encourage you to come to the Racine Zoo.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me on your show. This has been just a wonderful year. 2023, we turned 100. So everything has been focused on talking about being 100, what can we celebrating being 100, getting all those memories from all the people just in just the brief conversations that we had before the show started. And we were talking about the memories that you guys have of being at the Racine Zoo. So I look forward to exploring that more. But we've got lots and lots coming up before the end of the year. We have a Giving Zoo Day. You know, Tuesday after Thanksgiving is always Giving Tuesday for nonprofits to raise money for their end-of-the-year appeals. And so we put a twist on it, as always. So it's Giving Zoo Day, and that is on Tuesday, the 28th of November. And we're going to be launching, which Mondays is Cyber. Cyber Mondays is everyone starts doing that. And we're going to have one called Cyber Monday. So we're going to have a discount for our adopt program highlighting that. And we have our winter picnics in a snow globe coming up starting on December 8th.
Okay. Now, what is that when we're a snow globe?
So it looks like a garden dome. And up to 8 people can go in there. And you can have, you'll get either soup or tomato soup or chili, or you could opt to get just appetizers, or you can get tomato soup and grilled cheese and an appetizer. You can do it with just regular pop, soda, water, or you can add wine, or you could add beer, or you could add both. So it's just fun. That was kicked off during COVID when people wanted to still go out and do something, but they didn't, every so many distance. So you're in a globe by yourself with 7 of your favorite friends or family.
One of the things I love about the zoo, and I would say this is true in the Fab Lab, is you guys are constantly reinventing yourself, and you're coming up with interesting ways to engage the community, both educational and through events like you're talking about. I know I've been to see the symphony. I always say if you're not a supporter of the zoo, it's because you haven't been to the zoo. And if you live in this city or this region and you haven't been to the Racine Zoo, shame on you. It's amazing. And it's just one of those things you're like, who knew this was here in the middle of Racine, this amazing zoo with all of this really cool stuff. And then fond memories as a kid going there, just spending the day. And then going back when you were old enough to ride your bike there yourself, so.
Yeah, it's a very special zoo. And what I love about it, and I've worked all over the country, but I love this small but mighty zoo. We're accredited with the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. We're one of 241 that are accredited of the 5,000 places that hold animals. So we are a very special zoo. We have 2 of the original safe species saving animals from extinction at the zoo, which is our African penguins and our eastern black rhinos. So again, another special thing in the city of Racine. So we're a great zoo in southeast Wisconsin.
I got about a billion questions, so I'm going to try and rein back and let Steve and Scott kind of jump in more here. Scott and I were kicking around memory stores, but my first question is, what happens to the animals when it gets cold out like this?
Well, they actually, many of them like to stay outside. So what you're not going to see if you come on a cold, cold day is our animals from Land of the Giants, which would be our Maasai giraffe, our eastern black rhinos, and our Hartman's mountain zebras, because they need it to be warm. So they have their back of house where it's nice and toasty. So the same things happen. They get trained, they get fed, they get clean. All the stuff that you do on a normal day happens back of house. Just keepers have to wear very bundled up parkas when they're going from one building to another building. But we have so many animals that are still outside. Our cats, even our lions, that are African lions, still like to be outside. That sun comes down and it's just, they soak up the rays, and it's just a wonderful thing. And then of course we have animals inside. So we've got all the things that are in the castle building. And then we have Discovery Center, which is where our bats and reptiles live. So there's plenty to see throughout the zoo, even in the wintertime.
So discuss some of the educational. Now, you just called the castle, which I have no clue what that is, and then your Discovery Center. So what are you guys doing now to reach out? Now, in the advent of STEM education, and this is something I have to live in this realm quite a bit, you know, the idea that we're bringing engineering principles into a lot of education and discipline. Talk about some of the things you guys do educationally, because I know I have experience and examples of zoos collaborating with Fab Labs and that whole maker culture. So what exactly are you guys doing? And
yeah, so we do traditional program, which is your K through 12 school programs, both on-site and off-site programs. So we bring the kids here to the zoo, and sometimes we go to their schools, and sometimes the program requires both. So we'll go to the school, we do things there, they come to the zoo, and we do pre-post activities. I think what has been really fascinating is the amount of engagement that we are able to get with the kids and their knowledge of what is being taught, that from the first time that we see them to when that post review comes in, their knowledge has gone up. So we're confident that we are reaching the kids that we need to. And we also do programs for college students. Many things that we have partnered with Gateway on some projects, which has been amazing. We have intern programs, we have preschool, we have scouts, we have sleepovers, we have adult programs. So everything that we do, and also everything we do, is educational. Even if you're just walking by and you're reading a sign, and we are able to get information out to folks. So to us, it's one large classroom. No. Just doesn't have to have four walls and a door. That's not part of environmental education or informal education. So, and we do virtual programs. So all of our programs meet and exceed local, state, and national standards for all of the sciences. Mm-hmm. So when a teacher's like, well, you know, I've got to check this box for something I need to do, they can call us and we can show them that it matches and meets what their superintendents and their principals are telling them that they have to do. So that works out really well, and we have to adjust those programs all the time to keep up with the trends. So it's worked out really, really well for us.
Yeah, I'm very envious. I did at a school an outreach day, and I'm thinking, okay, Fab Lab goes in. We got 3D printers. I'm letting the kids take these little catapults that they 3D printed and fire them, you know, to try and get a cornhole game. And I'm thinking, I'm showing them printing. I'm letting them play with catapults. And they're like, oh, the zoo's over in the other classroom, and they brought petting animals. I'm like, oh, man, forget it. I almost like abandoned the poor kids on the catapults and went over to pet like baby animals.
Oh,
and it was like,
goodness.
How can I compete with that? That's crazy.
No, and that's one of the things that we've had personally, annual zoo membership for years, because we love taking our kids there specifically for the petting zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a great, the playground's cool too. Don't get me wrong.
Everyone loves the playground.
The playground was really cool when that got brought in. Not the old one, but the new one that was put in. But the petting of the animals was a really nice feature that the zoo has, that direct contact instead of just seeing something behind a cage. You still have the lions behind the cage for obvious reasons, but you do have interactive displays, and that's what I love.
And we're close, too. Even those that you can't go pet, you've got a really close proximity to viewing them and engaging with the keepers. We have keepers out. We've got educators out. We have our wonderful animal ambassadors that go to schools, that go to community centers. Even on property, we'll do creature features or we'll do live performances in our wildlife theater. So our job, and that was the perfect word, is engaging, and engaging with people, because we need to get people to be empathetic to the animals, to the environment, so that they can be stewards of this land. And we need to start them young, which is why we start programs at the age of 2.
Yeah, that's a great message.
We have to. And then we've got that lifelong learning. Everyone wants to come. So it's a little bit of edutainment. So we want to get them in the door, and it might be for a concert or it might be for a wine tasting. But once they're there, then they're going to come back, repeat, become a member, keep bringing their kids. And by turning 100 this year, we put it out there to have people send us photos of their fondest memories.
Oh, that's cool.
And we have been getting tons of photos. The ones that have really captivated me are those where the mom is sending a picture of her now son, and then in a spot at the zoo with side by side with a picture of her grandfather or her dad in the same spot right next to each other.
Wow.
Almost like the kids pose, kind of like grandpa did. And those pictures, we are a community zoo. We're 100 years old. We have created memories for a long time. So that generational excitement and engagement is, to me, one of the most fascinating things that this year has brought for me.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing that you guys have embraced the idea of Save the Planet and conservation, whereas you might see some scrutiny to the whole, animals shouldn't be in cages movement. I mean, right now I call them the second generation greenies. They're a real easy sell when you talk about ways that they can live better, where it's less invasive on the planet, ways they can move towards a more responsible carbon footprint. So, you had the original Earth Day generation, and then I call them the Save the Planet generation. Mm-hmm. And now the second gen greenies, they just want action. They don't want the lecture. They don't want to, so in a place like the zoo, they can actually bring attention to really topical issues. So I imagine that's a really great coupling for you guys.
It really is, and it has really helped us a lot because, again, we want people to become active stewards of the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, probably in theory, I wouldn't have a job if everyone took care of the planet and we were all engaged appropriately with not wrecking stuff.
Yeah, now my background is deep and dark. I was at Field Museum, and the whole history of how specimens started getting collected for museums tied into conservation. So back in the 20s and 30s in the last century, a lot of people thought all of the species were going to go extinct. Mm-hmm. And the exact opposite of what you think would happen happened. Museums rushed out to shoot these animals and get specimens so that they would have them in their collection. And then as things eased down into the 30s and 40s, they figured out photography and filming, and they thought that was a great alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greats in taxidermy actually figured out a lot of that and to help conservation. So we found that what we were thinking was kind of contrary to what actually happened, and mm-hmm. that's just a really great lesson for any zoo goers or, the new generation, the second generation greenies too. I think they understand that concept.
Right, right. And so bringing all of the actionable items that they can do, by donating to the zoo with Giving Zoo Day, by becoming a member, all of those dollars help us do our job. And then we in turn also support conservation activities that are happening in the wild and the counterpart areas of where our animals come from. And it's a way for us to have that actionable item all the time. And so we raise money in order for us to do that, both on property and off property. So I love where we're going with everything right now.
Now, one of the things that we're big in here at Gateway is community service, engaging the community, doing things for the community. What I really love about the zoo is that you're a focal point where we can do some of this to help out. What are some of the things that Gateway students have done for you up at the zoo in terms of projects and stuff?
Yeah, so one of the most recent projects, so we had, we have bricks, honorary and memorial bricks that people have purchased for loved ones, and they're throughout the zoo in front of the castle, which is the large Vanishing Kingdom building, and kind of in that center when you first come in. So people came in and go, oh my gosh, I bought a brick 15 years ago, but I can't remember where it is, and I can't look at, you know, 1,000 bricks and help them necessarily all the time. So a group of students, three of them from the IT at Gateway, came and created a database cross-referencing where every line is, and even every line had, you know, A through Z or A through B, so that we could even pin it down more. And that has been one of the most phenomenal projects that these kids did. I sure hope their teacher gave them an A, because they deserve it. It was phenomenal. They were great kids. They came out in the cold. Even when it was snowing, they would brush it off to make sure that they didn't miss a name of any brick. So that was a really great opportunity. We've also had some students from Gateway that have helped with inventory management for our gift shop and our grill. So that helps us trigger. You know, we're buying, you know, so many plush zebras. When do we need to buy more in order to make sure we never run out and we always have something on the shelf?
You do not want to find yourself without a plush zebra.
You do not. You do not. And so they were able to, you know, they queried the operations manager and what it was that, you know, when would we need to, and here's our heavy season, and here's kind of the trends of attendance. And they created a database that said, when this gets here, 2 weeks before so-and-so event happening, you've got to order. So it is kind of, so we don't over-order, but we're not under-ordering either. So that was a really great project for us, too. So these guys are so smart.
No, and that's what I really like about Gateway's dedication to what we call service learning, where you learn through actually doing things out in the community to help the community. The whole implementation of that is awesome. Now, at the zoo, obviously you guys have veterinarians. How does your vet people work over there?
Yeah, so we have so many hours per week that our vet is on property, and there's every animal gets an annual exam every year. So it is very, you know, it is our vet tech, Tiffany, is amazing because she knows exactly where to keep everyone in line in regards to what has to happen. So they are very engaged. What we really want to do is we're going to be building a new vet center, and we have already gotten a lovely commitment letter from Gateway that when that does happen,
awesome,
that we want to be able to be front and center with your vet tech students so that we can do that hands-on learning at a whole different level than we are currently able to do. So
nice. Yeah.
I'm very, very excited. Once that project happens, we'll definitely be in touch again.
That's what's really awesome, because Gateway has a very robust vet tech program right now over in Elkhorn.
Oh.
And so having that ability here closer to the Racine Kenosha area is going to be monumental.
Yes.
Because they do some phenomenal things for anybody who's interested in learning about taking care of animals and veterinarian services and stuff like that. It's on the Gateway's website at www.gtc.edu.
What was that website there, Steve?
www.gtc.edu. Under programs, you can look up veterinary tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of really good information on that. But having that, once again, coordinated with what we have locally, that's what makes Gateway so amazing.
It is, you know, the collaboration and the big picture logic that's used. So you've already utilized two different things at Gateway, and I haven't even gone to Fab Lab yet, but it's great that, you know, such a pillar and icon in the community understands they can go to Gateway and say, I have this problem and I need this problem solved. And if, you know, we can't solve it directly, we can even figure out how to find someone who can solve it for you. So, you know, hearing that you were involved in these programs and knew you could come is really great for us.
Yeah, we are always open to helping students learn. And it might not be a project that we think we need, but if they suggest something and we're like, I never thought of that, let's do that too. It doesn't have to be something that's currently relevant. It can be something that might help us in the future. And we are all okay with,
right,
with any of those.
Right, and more collaboration.
Now,
I've stumbled across educational facilities. I stumbled across one in Fort Worth, and the instructor was connecting with the local zoo. And they had formulated STEM curriculum where they were getting collaborative groups of students adopting an animal and coming up with a digital profile for it and doing a scan and coming up with the models that they could print. And I know that was a really interesting thing. So in my outreach experience, I'm lucky if I'm hitting three schools a month. How many schools would you say you guys are getting out to?
I would say every school within RUSD, 100%. We see those kids, and every school has so many classrooms. Our reach is about 90,000 when it's all said and done with what education does for community, schools, virtual, the on-site learning.
90,000 students.
90,000 people.
People.
Doesn't have to be K-12 all the time. Mm-hmm. That I would say, I mean, every week we're at 3 to 10 schools.
Amazing.
With different programs. We have an AmeriCorps grant, and those kids go out on behalf of the zoo, teach the kids there, and then the kids come to the zoo on certain days, and those AmeriCorps members are amazing. They learn from our education staff. They get trained on animal ambassadors, and it's just another way to get those students that want to give back as AmeriCorps members.
You're making me feel outreach shamed here.
Oh, no. We'll work together.
Okay, yeah, and of course, there's always a potential for future collaboration, mm-hmm. which we look forward to. Now, Scott's been sitting over there with a funny look on his face the whole show. Scott, tell the story about growing up by the zoo. Let's hear a couple of stories here.
Okay, before we get to that, I got an animal question.
Okay.
Do we have a rhinoceros at the Racine Zoo?
We have two. We have a male and female eastern black rhino.
Oh, that's so cool. Those are my favorite animals.
Timu and Kianga.
That's so cool. Okay. So, do you want to talk about history? I got a lot of history with the Racine Zoo.
Now, Scott, did you grow up near the Racine Zoo?
I grew up right by the Racine Zoo. It was free. The entrance was right on Main Street there. It wasn't on the corner of Gould and Main. It was right kind of in the center. And ice skating. Do you guys remember skating at the Racine Zoo?
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd go, Beth, you called it the castle.
Yeah.
So underneath the castle is where we stored all our clothes, and then we went out and skated. I mean, I was just a young little kid, but it was so fun. Can we bring that back?
I have been asked that since I started at the zoo, and I keep thinking, and one of these days, I will have ice skating for you.
I want to do
that. I'm going to do it just for you. I'm trying so hard.
Do you know what a huge success that would be? I think Racine would embrace that, personally. Right. The gorilla machine that compressed, you put a quarter in the machine, and it compressed really hard and spit out this little, like, hard plastic.
Mold-o-matics.
Do we still have that at the zoo?
We don't. Oh. They were gone before I got there.
Those are so cool.
Yeah, they were at every major place, right?
And they're still at some zoos.
I think it's a family-owned company. So if you go to the Brookfield Zoo, they have their characters, and it would push the mold together.
That's
and
so cool.
Their, you know, whatever their celebrity animal was.
I mean, I just had those all over my bedroom as a kid. I don't know. And the big one is Safari Days. Do you guys remember Safari Days at the zoo?
I remember those, yeah.
It was like a carnival at the zoo. I mean, throwing darts at balloons, and it was so excellent. That's my history of the zoo. I loved it.
Okay. What about the monkey story?
You got a monkey story?
No, I got one question for you talking about events at the zoo. Do you guys still have the concerts every Sunday night?
We do, and the concert, Racine Concert Band, just turned 100 years old as well.
Oh, wow.
So they do 7 Sundays, and they start either at 6:30 or 7, it depends on, or 7 and 7:30, it depends on the day of the month. So, but those are very, very popular, and those are free for the public to come in. They can come in off of the Walton Gate over by the pond, or they can come in at Augusta Gate so that it's shorter for depending upon who's walking or who needs help with the cart.
So those are different concerts than the jazz series,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the Animal Crackers jazz series has been a long running
hit. Yeah, this is
hit.
Our 37th year coming up, I believe. And there's 2 in July and 2 in August. Those are, we sold 1,000 season tickets at the last concert of last year. And they make a great holiday present,
that
actually.
That is awesome, yeah.
And we're selling a couple every day right now for people that want to put it as a nice stocking stuffer.
I saw the Yellow Jackets. I think it was a pretty big jazz group, if anybody cares.
At the zoo, you
mean? At the Racine Zoo, part of Animal Crackers, yes. I just saw them. Yeah.
Now, when did the whole holiday lights thing start up? Do you know the history of that?
I know that there was a gentleman, Dr. Weary, had these lights at his house.
Yeah, I remember going to his house to see him when I was in college.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they had donated those to the Kiwanis. So the Kiwanis actually of Racine are the ones that are the caregivers of the lights. They started to install them, I think it was November 4th. They did a lot on the 11th, and they were there today, the Kiwanis, finishing the big waterfall. So that everyone refers to them as the Weary Lights.
Right.
And we're going to be kicking those off next week. We're going to be flipping the light switch. So
party time.
Yeah, they just got to get them finished. And they are from the corner of Gould and Main all the way down to through our property, which ends just south of Augusta Street.
Yeah, and if you've never seen them, you got to just jump in the car, drive down Main Street, and it's basically North Main up where you guys are, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't miss it. It's amazing.
So was it last year that we had the Chinese lights?
That was 2019. Yeah, so it's been several years already since we've done those.
Is there any special event like that at the zoo this year?
We just finished Jack-O-Lantern Nights. And so other than the lights that are out on the street, we had done a drive-through Christmas during COVID. But what we're trying to do now is we have to plan for 24 winter. And we're looking to see if we can do something similar to the Jack-O-Lantern Nights where we can get people on property. It's hot chocolate. It's fire pits. It's walking around, seeing beautiful lights inside. And then the Weary Lights complement what's inside because then you leave and you drive and you go right by those lights.
You had me at hot chocolate, baby. Hot chocolate. And bring it.
And for those that's never been to the Jack-O-Lantern Lights, we've gone every year.
Did you enjoy them this year with the big panels?
Yes. And it's you had some of the leftover lights from the drive-through.
Yep.
And those enhance it so dramatically. But the outdoor fire pits, those are probably my favorite.
They're my favorite, too. I hope your family enjoyed hanging around the fire pit.
We did. We didn't get to spend much time there because we actually ended up doing three loops through the jack-o'-lanterns because our kids were trying to figure out which ones they liked the best. So they were voting, and then they went back through just to check to make sure. It was a really good time.
I love that.
All you listeners, please, if you can reach out and support the Racine Zoo, it is a vital and vibrant part of Racine. It has been for 100 years. Gateway's coming up on, what, 110, 112?
Oh, more than that.
112 years old. Right. And this is a part of our legacy, of our provenance, if you're from the area. If you want to learn more about this, you can email FabLab10AM at fablab@gtc.edu.
What was that again?
fablab@gtc.edu. I definitely want to thank Beth Heidorn for coming out and talking to us today. I've really enjoyed this time. Steve, anything to add?
No, and like I said, if you haven't had a chance to get down there, even the colder time periods, walking through the Racine Zoo is a very enjoyable experience, and it's not expensive at all. That's what's amazing. Yes, there's a charge. Back in our days, it was free, but it's a minimal charge to get there for one day.
Yes, and then you can enjoy it. We want people to still have the value. So if you go spend a lot of money somewhere, now you feel like you've got to spend 8 hours at that place. It's okay if you just come for a couple hours at the zoo, hang out, do a couple of loops, and walk out. Right now we're on winter hours, so it's $9 for adults, $8 for seniors, and $7 for kids between 3 and 15. And every kid, 2 and younger, is always free at the zoo.
But the one thing I would recommend is the family memberships, because the family membership gives you access year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys have any collaboration with other zoos?
Yeah. So there's reciprocity, not within the state of Wisconsin. That's just most zoos, if they're right down the road like Milwaukee, you don't reciprocate with yours. But if you are a zoo member and you are going to San Diego and we have a reciprocity agreement with them, you would get off 50% of your entry fee to go in there, or to Brookfield Zoo, or to Lincoln Park, or Shedd. So, and then if they have a member from down there, they would come up here. They would get 50% off our price.
Nice.
So, because we want people to enjoy zoos all over the country and aquariums all over the country, and it's just a really great opportunity.
I think people forget that about membership. Yeah.
But the membership to the transfer agreement, or reciprocity to Shedd, is what we used.
Perfect.
And it was awesome.
That's great.
I appreciate it. And you use your membership to its fullest, which is what's really important.
And how much is an annual membership for a family?
A family is $70.
Right.
So,
it's really cheap.
I mean,
that's
cheap. Yeah. So
spend that at the gas station.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay, we got like just a minute left, and I have to ask this, Beth. Being the executive director of the zoo, how many pets do you have at home?
I have 3 dogs, 1 rescue beagle, 1 yellow lab, and 1 black lab.
Awesome. That's cool.
Just dogs, that's it?
Just dogs currently, yep.
Okay. Now, a deep, dark secret from my college past. when I was in college and I studied art, I guess that's no secret, even though I run a fab lab, I got commissioned by the zoo to do an event sign. So I painted an event sign for you, and then I painted a small painting for the monkey house, I think it was at the time. I wouldn't be surprised if that one's still in there because it wasn't a bigger piece.
What but, does it look like?
It looked like three chimps drinking tea, and it was like the wildest party in town was the slogan.
Cute. I will look for that sign.
Yeah, the event sign was huge. It was like 4x8. I can't imagine that's still around. Just had a bunch of animals, you know, enjoying a few cocktails and aperifs as they were.
I love it. For the most updated information about the Racine Zoo, you can go to www.racinezoo.org. There's a green bar at the top, and you can do a drop-down, whether it's events,